In the name of the Father, and Son, the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Psalm 104, verse 4. Who makes his angels spirits, his ministers a flame of fire. Who makes his angels spirits, his ministers a flame of fire. Also, I will read some verses from the Epistle of St. Paul, the Apostle to the Philippians, chapter 2, from verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. Also, the Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 12, verses 28 and 29. We are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken. Let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. Glory be to God. Amen. They asked me to speak concerning the fiery minister, but I hope I speak about the fiery believer, how every believer, the young people, the children, the elders, the priests, all laymen, everyone had the fiery heart. What is the meaning of fiery heart? We heard now that God, in fact, is a consuming fire. And he also wants his angels and all those who serve him to be fiery. They look like fire. Their hearts must be inflamed with love. And they become an icon of God himself. Before speaking of the fiery heart, I want just to speak about the Lord Jesus Christ, the Logos. We heard in the Epistle to the Philippians, God the Logos, who is in fact a divine fire. He came to our world. He humbled himself. He became like a slave. And he practiced his humbleness here in this world. At the same time, in Luke, what he said, chapter 12, 49. He said that he came to send fire on the earth. I want just to, that every one of us to distinguish between humbleness and fiery heart. God, who is fire, heavenly fire, divine fire, the consuming fire, God the Logos became a man. He was very humble. He accepted to be a baby. He accepted to be even judged by men. He accepted to be crucified. But at the same time, he was in fact the fiery one. And he wants every human being to be his icon, has a fiery heart. God, the fiery one, came to the world and he became a man so that every human being may become also fiery, a heavenly one. It is the pleasure of God the Father that every one of us to be an icon of Christ. If we ask what is the difference between Christianity and any other religion, we can say Christianity is not a canon or a law of morals. Christianity, in fact, a personal contact with God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It is, in fact, to be united with the Father and through or the Lord Jesus Christ by the work of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, as Saint Athanasius said, that God, the Logos, became a man so that men may become also gods, but not in the same level. He is the Son of God by nature. We are children of God by adoption. Sometimes we imagine the Christian person is very humble. It means he didn't care about the world. He didn't care about responsibilities. He is not involved in the world as if he has no life. If we look to the Lord Jesus Christ, truly he came to the world. He was very humble. He asked us to imitate him and to share him his humbleness. But at the same time, he has his own responsibility towards all mankind. His heart was inflamed with love. He wants every single person to enjoy his love. Every person, every child, every baby, every lady, every young person, every man has his own place in the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am as an icon of Jesus Christ. To practice humbleness doesn't mean I don't care about others or as if I am not in this world. I am in this world. And I have to share my Lord Jesus Christ, his characteristics, and to have, I can say, an open and wide heart. Every person, even my enemies, even the persecutors of the church, the believers and the non-believers, my relatives and the foreigners, every place finds special place in my heart. I love every human being. I want every human being to share me and to enjoy the new life which I received in the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, Christ came here in this world to, as we ascend, John Chrysostom used to say, he came to change men into angels and to change earth into heaven, so that not only we can say that church is an icon of heaven, but we hope all the world may become an icon of heaven, and all mankind, all men, may also be like angels of God, fiery beings. All of them are full of love. When God chose Abraham, you know, there was a time in which Abraham alone in the whole world was worshipping God. Perhaps Sarah, his wife, shared him his belief or his faith in God. But even his parents, all mankind, all the nations, were far away from God. All mankind gave their back to God. Only one person, Abraham, was giving his faith to God. He wanted him to be the father of all the believers. And when he wanted to enter in covenant with him, or make, we can say, a covenant between God and the believers, what happened? In the book of Genesis, we hear these words. God asked Abraham to offer a sacrifice divided in two. Every animal or bird has to be divided in two parts. After which there was a smoking oven and a burning torch that passed between those pieces. In Genesis 15, chapter 17, he brought the sacrifices. He divided every sacrifice in two parts. He separated the two, one from the side, the other side, and God, as if he passed through them, and there was smoking and fire. What does it mean? It means, as I can say, God, as if he says, as I am a fiery, I love all mankind, I want to pass and to dwell among my people through the sacrifice, and all the people may become fiery beings. He wants a people full of joy and full of love. This is the first covenant between God and men. It started by fire. And he wants his people to be full of or inflamed with the fiery love. The first leader of the people was Moses. We know how Moses started while he was 40 years old, and he tried to defend his people and to redeem them from bondage of Pharaoh. And when he found two persons were attacking each other, fighting, one was Egyptian, the other was Hebrew, he slapped the Egyptian, and the Egyptian died immediately. But what happened? He escaped. He was afraid of Pharaoh and of his people. He was in failure. His heart became very cold. Then after another 4 years, God called him to serve him. He said, no, I have no experience. I can't start to serve you. I can't speak with the king. I can't lead the people. You can choose any other person, but not me. I have some problem in my tongue. It is very heavy. I can't even speak fluently with them. Then he tried to apologize and asked God to send another person. God insisted that Moses had to start his leadership to the people, and redemption or the exodus would happen through him. And he said to him, don't worry. What will you do with me? I will be in your mouth. Not just I give you the words to speak. I myself, the fiery being, I will be within you, in your mouth, in your heart. You will be inflamed with love. Then you will work through me, and your ministry surely will be very successful. For the first time, when God called him, what he saw, he beheld the bush, the fiery bush, and he heard God speaking to him. He put off his shoes, he started to speak with God, and through the fiery bush he discovered the Logos will come to the world as a fiery bush through Saint Mary. And also the people, and the bush will be, the fiery bush, it is a symbol of the incarnation of the Logos. At the same time, it is the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, the church, which would receive the fiery Jesus Christ, and it would look like the angels of God. It will be a heavenly congregation full of fire. Moses himself saw himself in this fire, how God is working in him, and the divine fire will inflame his heart to work. It is not only the responsibility of the clergyman, the bishop, the patriarch, the priest, the deacons, or even the church, the teachers of Sunday schools. Every believer must imitate Moses and accept the Lord Jesus Christ, the Logos, the Word of God within him. Then his or her heart will be inflamed with love. I tell you just a story. Once a lady asked me to visit her because there was a problem. When I visited her, she said she has two little kids, daughters, and they were in, I think, a preschool. And the principal of the preschool called her and said, there is a problem with your two kids. She said, why? They are very polite. They are very sweet. They are always joyful, even at home. She said, this is our problem. I said, what is the problem? She said, I love them. The teachers love them. The students, the children, love them. Then what is the problem? She said, oh, the problem every time when they meet any person and he or she did something wrong, they used to bring a picture of the crucified Lord Jesus Christ and said, how you are lying, and that the Lord Jesus Christ is crucified on your behalf. How you do so and so, why you are fighting, and the Lord Jesus Christ saved you and redeemed you. When the children return home and their parents do something wrong, they said to their parents, Dad, what are you doing? Why you are lying? The Lord Jesus Christ is crucified on your behalf. And said the same thing to their mothers. Then the parents came and asked the principal, what happened? Is it a missionary school or it is a governmental school? How our kids came to our home and they asked us to believe in the crucified Lord Jesus Christ. And when she asked, she discovered it is the work of two kids who taught them to witness to Jesus Christ, who asked them to reveal the redeeming work of the Lord Jesus Christ to the Muslim children. It is the work of the Lord who is dwelling in their heart. Their hearts are flamed with love. They can prevent themselves from witnessing to the Lord Jesus Christ. They enjoyed the fiery Lord within their heart. They wanted every child to have the same experience. Sometimes we want to say, oh, we have to prepare some young people to witness to Jesus Christ. We are in need of some seminaries, some special schools and so on, or classes or courses. In fact, we are in need that every member of the church to enjoy the fiery God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and through this experience, they can witness to God without asking or without the church asking them to do that. I give another example. What about San Paul? Saul was in fact very zealous. He believed he was the first man or the righteous man in the whole world, perhaps after his teacher Gamaliel. He believed that he was very righteous. He was very zealous concerning the Jewish tradition. He was working very hard to abolish Christianity because he looked at it against God. He was a Hebrew person. He devoted all his time, all his energies, all his power to work on behalf of his congregation or his religion, the Hebrew religion. Suddenly, he discovered that he was on the wrong track. He looked a light coming from heaven. He heard the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ. He discovered that he was in darkness, while the brightness of the Lord Jesus Christ now is reflecting on him. And he asked God, he asked the Lord Jesus Christ, "What will I do? What do you want me to do? I lost all my life. I believed I served God. I discovered that I was against God, and I was fighting against God. What will I do?" From this moment, Saul or Saint Paul, all his life has been changed. And instead of being persecutor of the church, he became the chosen vessel to witness to Jesus Christ wherever he was. If he was among the Jews or the Gentiles, if he was at any house with any family or in the jail, if he was in a ship or at the shore sea, if he was in a temple or among Christian congregation, nothing in fact involved his heart except to reveal how he enjoyed the fiery God. His heart was inflamed with love. He wanted every single person not just to be Christian, but to enjoy the Christian life as a fiery heart or fiery life. We are in need to discover that Christianity, in fact, is not just some dogmas to believe or some doctrines to believe or some morals to behave or just to worship some God in a special or in special order. Christianity, in fact, although there are doctrines, church order, dogmas, all these things, but the core of Christianity is to enjoy the personal contact through the church with the Holy Trinity and to enjoy the Father as the fiery God or consuming God, to enjoy the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart and to be guided by the Holy Spirit, and thus you will become like an angel of God. Nothing can prevent you from witnessing to Christ. I remember in the United States there was a non-Christian person, and he was asked, "Why you were converted to Christianity?" He said, "One word. What do you believe? What is this word which converted him to Christianity?" He said, "I couldn't imagine that I can say to God, 'Our Father.' I can't imagine this. Always I was looking to God as the fearful one. He is isolated in heaven. He can't feel or share me my weakness. He is in his own atmosphere, in the heavenly atmosphere. I am in this world. I am a very weak human being. I have my emotions. He has his heavenly world. There is a separation, a gap between me and him. I was afraid of God. But I discovered in Christianity, God is my own. He is my Father. He is the Father of the whole world. I enjoyed Christianity through this word, our Father. How many times we say our Father, but how many times we have the same feelings? I remember one of the young Christians when he was converted to Christianity at the time of Gamal Abdel Nasser, and always electricity in Alexandria or all Egypt at that time many times was in disorder, and all Alexandria was in darkness. And everyone has his candle. And on my way from the church to my house, I met this person. I said, oh, I know all Alexandria is in darkness because the electricity is out of order. Then he smiled and said, Abuna, I want to tell you something. Because you were born in light, you can enjoy what I receive. I receive the light of Christ. There is no darkness at all. I can't feel the darkness of Alexandria because the lightness of my Lord is in my heart. What do you think about his feeling? Do we have the same feelings? Sometimes we say we want to preach Christianity. Okay, but to preach Christianity, you have to ask God to reveal himself within your heart and to enjoy his light. And through this light you can shine and you can hear this word, you are the light of the world. As he said, I am the light of the world. You also are the light of the world. It is not our own light. It is his own light which dwells in our heart. Perhaps you say, oh, how do you ask me to be a fiery person, full of light, full of the brightness of the Lord Jesus Christ, while I am a sinner, I am fighting with the carnal or bodily lusts, I am confused with my bad thoughts, my heart is very narrow, I can't love those who hate me. How can I witness to Jesus Christ while I am in this situation? I hope if you read this verse from Zechariah, what he said. In Zechariah chapter 2, verse 5, he said, God said, I will be a wall of fire all around her. We will return to the words, the promise of God to every one of us, even in the Old Testament, not only in the New Testament. He said through Zechariah, I will be a wall of fire all around her. I will be the glory in her midst. God is your fiery wall. He is your glory within your heart. Why are you afraid of sin? Why you are focusing your eyes on your sins? Why I say I am a sinner? Why I say I am very weak? Why I smell the bad smell of sin? Why I don't direct my eyes, my heart, my emotions, my senses to the Lord and said, oh, how beautiful you are. How your smelling are very nice. How you are very strong. St. Paul said that he can do everything through the Lord Jesus Christ who strengthened him. I am not alone. I remember once a person came to Father Bishoy Kamel and said to him, I am very upset. He said, why? He said, yesterday I was in the tram And two persons were speaking with each other. He said, oh, my relative or my cousin is in a good position. The other said so and so. He said, why every person has somebody who can help him who are in good positions or situations. And all my family is very poor and none can help me. I am depressed. Then Father Bishop asked him, what you said to them? He said, I left them. I was very angry. I was very depressed. I blamed God and said, why you created me in a very poor family? Then Father Bishop smiled and said to him, did you say to him, who is your father? He said, no, he's very poor. He said, how is it? God is your father. The angels and archangels are your relatives, and your home is in heaven. Why you didn't say to them, oh, my father is in heaven, he is in my heart, he strengthened me, he is the fiery word who surrounded me, nothing can pass through him to my heart, even the fiery arrows of the Satan. Why we are complaining of lust? We say lust looks like the fiery arrows of the devil. We don't care. I am surrounded with the divine world, the fiery world. Nothing of all the arrows can enter or pass to my heart or to my mind. You said, I want to tell us practically, how can I live in purity while I am in fact in confusion or I am struggling with these thoughts? Don't be in trouble. Don't be afraid. Even while you are fighting, it is for your crowning. It is for your victory. When I feel even I am very weak, then I lift up my heart to God and ask him, you are my wall. You can surround my heart, my mind. You can sanctify all my senses. I am not afraid of sin because you are my strength. You are my refuge. You are everything to me. I remember once a person asked me while I was speaking concerning thanksgiving, how can I thank God while I commit a sin and I am a slave of this sin for more than 10 years? It is too hard to me to thank God. I am very weak. I am sinful. I can't be freed from this sin. Then I said to him, okay, when you practice this sin, make a matanya, kneeling, and said to God, thanks God, you revealed or discovered my weakness. I am very weak. Can you change my life? Can you sanctify my senses? Can you work in my heart? And you will see how God is working. I remember I said the same story or the same answer, and once a little lady called me from Cairo and said, Abuna, can I visit you because I want just to ask you concerning my spiritual life. She came and said to me, I was in fact in trouble with specific sin for a long time, for many years. I heard your tape and I started to thank God every time I did something wrong. I said, oh, thank you, God. You revealed my weakness. I believe you can work in my heart. And I came today to have another spiritual exercise. We are not weak because we are not alone. We have to believe that we receive the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are his own member of his body. We receive the Holy Spirit in baptism and chrismation. Then why we are afraid of sin? We have truly to be fiery beings, regardless all our weakness.
When we become fiery, we also will be protected with fiery vehicles, as Elijah, the prophet, when his disciple was afraid and said, "Oh, the king of Syria, Aram, sent an army and they surround the mountain. What we will do, two persons without any arms, and an army came from Aram or Syria to kill those two persons." He said, "Don't worry." He prayed to God. He asked God to open his eyes and to see what happens. He looked to heaven and suddenly he saw a lot of fiery vehicles descending from heaven and surrounding the mountain. Why we are afraid? While you are in your private room, don't worry. Why you are afraid of devil, of Satan, of demons or sins of men? Why we afraid of anything in this world? We are supported with God. In Him we become fiery beings. Therefore we have to have the same experience of this prophet. When we become fiery beings like Elijah, what happened on his departure? A special fiery chariot descended to receive him. Do you want to be like the cherubim, who are fiery beings, and they are the throne of God? They are the vehicle of God, the fiery vehicle. When we are in fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, surely we will become as a fiery vehicle, and thus we can become his, looks like cherubim. Now perhaps you ask me, how can I become a burning fire, or how can I become a fiery being or believer? The first thing, perhaps you can say for the priest or the monk or the pilgrim or the bishop to be a fiery. What about me as a young person, and I am fighting and I am a suffering of many bad thoughts? It is very easy. When we look to the word as a gift from God, and we thank God for all his gifts, and we see our Lord in everything in this world, then we live in heaven. Heaven is not far from us. Truly it is in my heart. It is also in this world. I see in the world the Lord himself, who created this world, as my own palace. Saint Gregory of Nyssa used to say, God created man after he created the whole world as a palace to the king and to the queen, Adam and Eve. You are a king and you are a queen. We have the authority from the Lord himself. Therefore, when we look to the world through the eyes of the Lord Jesus Christ, our hearts will be inflamed with love. Second thing, when we ask Saint Paul, how do you become a fiery apostle? You changed many people, by the Holy Spirit you converted many persons to Christianity. You established many congregations all over the world. He would say one thing. I believed that everything is for the goodness to those who love God. Everything in my life is for my edification. I thank God in every moment. He chose to me where I am living. What about my family? What about the church? What about my work? Even what sometimes I look as if it is a kind of failure. God can change even what is failure to be a success for me. Everything is for my progress. In every moment I enjoy, I can say, the newness of life. In every morning I feel it is a new life. I never suffer boring. Why am I suffering boring? In every moment I see my Lord as if it is the first time I see Him. Therefore, my heart always is inflaming with love. Also, to enjoy the fiery heart, please don't worship God in formalities. God is not God of informalities. He wants you to be His own child. I don't imagine any of the young people will call his father and say, "Dad, can you accept me at home today, or I will go to the hotel to spend this day?" If he does that, his father will be upset. "How do you say that? You are my son or my daughter. How do you call me and ask me to have a permission to enter your own home?" My Lord Jesus Christ is my own home, and my heart is His own home. He is my Father. I am His own child. There is no formalities. Truly, there is a church order. But through this church order, I practice my worship not in formalities, but through a fiery heart. In the liturgy of the Eucharist, I am in heaven. I am in fellowship with and communion with the saints of the Old Testament, the New Testament, and also with the heavenly host. When I am in my private room, truly I am in front of the throne of God. I speak with Him as a child to his father, as David the king and the prophet used to say that he looks like a baby on the chest of his mother. I can't imagine a baby will ask his mother to have a permission to be on her chest. It is her pleasure that he jumped and he embraced her, and she will took him on her and embrace him because it is her child. Are you child of God? Why you practice worship in formalities? Even when you pray the Agbaya, the canonical hour, when we pray it in fiery method. I make Mataniyat, I lift my heart to heaven, I ask Him to open and to illuminate my inner man so that I may enjoy the angelic worship. At last, I hope that we to enjoy the fiery heart, to know who we are. We are children of God. We are members of the Lord Jesus, the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have special place in His heart. Not I say we, but I. Although I am united with all the members of the church from the Old and the New Testaments until the end of the age, but I have special place. He knows me by my name. As Saint Augustine used to say to God, "If there is another person in the world except me and you, I can't imagine that there is another person except you and me. You love me. I love you." I hope all of us truly enjoy the fiery heart. May our Lord Jesus Christ grant all of us to enjoy this fiery worship, fiery life. Glory be to God. Amen. The first question: where is the word Adonai said in the Bible? What does the word Elohim mean? In fact, in the Hebrew, there are many terms concerning God.
Sometimes Elohim, it is said when God met Moses, or Moses met God in Exodus 3. Jehovah, when it is Jehovah said when Moses met the Lord Jesus Christ in Exodus 3. Elohim, in the first verse, when Moses spoke about God as the Creator, there are many expressions. Every express and every term has its meaning. Saint Clement of Alexandria said, even the word God is not, in fact, the name of God, but it is the only way by which we can express our Lord and God and so. Therefore, there are many terms or expressions so that we may discover many sides concerning God. When we speak about God who is living among his people, we call him Jehovah, means I am. He is dwelling among his people. The Jews are proud of the word Jehovah, and we have many, we can prove that the Lord Jesus Christ is Jehovah, because he dwells among us, and he is the real Jehovah. When we speak about God the Almighty, Elohim, means he is the Creator. He is very, when he created this world, he is Almighty One. And Shaddai, every expression has its meaning. If you want to know all these words, I think I wrote it in the introduction of the Book of Psalms. Perhaps it is in Arabic. I hope somebody can translate it in English. In my book, the Psalms, from Psalm 1 to 50. Why, as Coptic Orthodox people, do we not believe in purgatory? When a loved one passes away, we believe they can hear our prayers from them. Concerning purgatory, in fact, al-matar, if we say it is a reality, what is the advantage of believing in it? Then we can do what we want, and we say, oh, we will purify it after our death by the fire of the purgatory. Now, I believe when we entered in dialogue with some theologians who came from Vatican, I remember once while I was speaking about the purgatory, he asked me about what school in the Catholic Church you are speaking. We have many schools. Some say it is really fire, some say it is just psychologically, some say it is just repentance. But even there are many schools among the Catholics concerning the purgatory in these days. We believe God is the lover of mankind. When we pray for our brothers and sisters who passed from this world, we express our love towards all mankind, not only about our beloved persons. And then when we will go, we will see. What is the advantage if I believe or don't believe in it? But many even of the Catholics says we do not believe in it, even if it is a reality, because I want to be sanctified here and ready to be in the paradise. You can read the book concerning purgatory, which His Holiness Pope Shenouda wrote. How do you know God's will in your life? How do you know God's will? The problem not in knowing God's will, but the problem is how to know God himself. If I ask you, if I ask a person, will you go to this trip to Europe? You say no. I said, why? He said, Dad, doesn't want me to go, and I can't disobey him. I said, oh, I will tell him, I will speak with him. He said, no, even if the Pope will speak with him, he will not accept. He doesn't want me to be far away from Australia. I said, how do you say that? Give me the chance, and I will speak with him. He said, I know my dad. I lived with him 24 years. I know every single thought in his mind, because I am his own son or daughter. If you know the mind of your father or your mother, why you don't know the mind of your God? If you are his own child and you live with him, then why you ask, how can I know his will? If you know him his will, and you know and you practice the fellowship with him, then you will not ask this question. When you ask this question, it means you are in need, and I am in need, to know him more and more. Then when I know him, I will know his will. Somebody wrote concerning how can we talk and laugh or eat or chewing gum and so on in the church. We have to know we are in the church of God, we are in heaven. And I want to tell something only. When we respect God, God also grants us to be respected by others. When we don't care about God, even unwillingly, then it is not for our advantage, because we will not have the same respect. When we are serious with God and respecting him through love, he will grant us also to be respected through God by others. What has been done up till now concerning the ecumenical councils? It is still working, but I believe unity will not happen by ecumenical councils. It will be realized or fulfilled through your prayers. We are in need, even in our special room or in our special personal prayers, we have to pray for the unity of the church. We hope that we see all Christians all over the world become one church, have the same faith, have the same love, and the same Lord. It is one of our responsibilities, not just to ask about the ecumenical councils, but to pray for the unity of the church. Because the Lord himself, Jesus Christ, although he is the Lord and the Logos of God, but as he became a man, he prayed for the unity of the church in chapter 17 of the Gospel according to St. John. If you know someone who is driving away from the church, what can you do to bring them back? Praying, making mataniyat, kneeling, and more, and after that, we have to love them, not to condemn them. Through love, we can attract everyone to Christ. They are in need to practice love and to enjoy the divine love through the church. I remember once while I was in Los Angeles, a little lady was passing near the church, by the church, at midnight. And we were a group, we making the bulletin of the church, and that all the church at that time was from outside, from the glass. She looked at us, she knocked the door and asked if she entered. And while I was speaking with her, she was from Syria. And I asked her, why you are praying? She said, no, I heard somebody speaking Arabic. It was in 1970 or 71. I just came to speak with you in Arabic with the group. Then I said, what about your church? She said, I don't believe in God. What do you mean? I said, how is it? She said, what do you mean by God? I said, God is your father, your heavenly father. She said, what do you mean by father? I said, like your father, the physical father. She said, I don't care about my father or my mother. I don't know in which state they are living. I said, even in the Thanksgiving you are not gathered together. She said, why we are gathered together? I said, if your dad is sick, will you not call him? She said, why I will call him? There are many hospitals and doctors. He is not in need of me. She couldn't enjoy the fatherhood of God because she didn't enjoy the fatherhood of her father. Those who leave the church are in need to enjoy the love of God, the divine love, through you and through me, through the laymen and through the priests and the deacons. What advice do you give a servant longing for the monastic life? What characteristics should he have? What sacrifices should he make? How does one prepare himself? How does he know if he is really ready for it? Pray for me. I believe there is no separation between monastic life and Christian life. What is the difference between monastic life and Christian life? It is the same. I put all my life in his hand. When I have the desire to be a monk or a nun, then it is a good chance to live in purity. When I feel I am very weak in some bad thoughts, then I pray and ask, how can I want to be a monk or a nun while I am not pure, while I am impure in my thoughts? It is a good chance to be in progress. And in the due time, surely God will grant you or enlighten in your heart, and he will direct you and guide you on the way which is suitable or fit with your life. Please don't make any vow, but put in your mind and said, I want to be a monk, I want to be a nun, but it is my pleasure to fulfill the divine will. And I put this in this desire before God, and I ask God to guide me so that in the due time when he directs you at any direction, then you will be very happy. And don't say, oh, for a long time I desire to be so and so, and all my desire was not or is not fulfilled. How do you know what level we're in between the relationship between me and God? Why does God always give me, why doesn't give me what I want if it doesn't harm anyone and it is not bad? The first question, to know your relationship with God, there is a thermometer. You can know if you are in with God or not. If you love all mankind and if you are always joyful, you are in Christ. When you are upset, you are outside Christ. When your heart is narrow, you are outside of Christ. Two things. I love all mankind, all men, even those who persecute the church, even the criminals. I love them, although I hate crimes. I rejoice even while I am very upset for those who are committing sin. Why God doesn't give me what I want if it is not harm God or harm men or harm me? God is not concerned to give you anything in this world. God is concerned to be his icon. He wants to give you his own self. And instead of giving you something temporal, he wants you to live with him eternally. Therefore, he guided your life in this way. What's your advice on young engaged couples to be in Christ? He sees Christ in her. She also has the same attitude. When we are in Christ, surely we will be in heaven. You will be the shadow of the heavenly wedding, and you will be full of joy Because your joy is in Christ, not just in carnal emotions or something like that. Please always they tell us in our church we are the best, and in another denominations will never inherit heaven because they don't belong to our feet. What about your opinion, Father?
My opinion, it is not my job. I open the real way and I trust in my faith. I declare what is the truth, but about the condemnation or the judgment, it is God's work. It is not my job. I remember once I was in the car and the person asked a recently priest, I am in many troubles. What will I do? He said, oh, it is very easy. He said, how is it? He said, while I was working, when something, a problem came, and it is not in my responsibility, I direct it to the office of another person. When you have some problem, it is not your work. You have to direct it to the office of God and said it is your responsibility, not my own responsibility. We have to direct many things to God, not to be engaged and to involved in many things which make troubles and in our mind. Somebody asked me also something concerning the policy of the church. I hate entering in the policy of the church. I always look to myself as a member in the church and under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. I don't like to be in waste my time in the policy of the church. Father, you served with Abu Nafshoi Kamel for many years. What made Abu Nafshoi a true cross bearer? One thing, he loved the salvation of every human being. This, I can't find a person in this world has the same attitude. Every single person was very, very dear to him. He wants everyone, every person to enjoy the new life in Christ. I remember a person told me in Los Angeles, when he went in 1969, and the person said, Abuna, do you want to hear a very nice sermon? He said, okay. He started to open the recorder. He heard the sermon. He said, I met a person in a great position in the army in Egypt, and I started to speak and say to him, he said, please, I don't want to hear. He said, why, Abuna? He converted him to Christianity. He said, what is the difference between a general in the army and a servant in a house? Is it a human being and the other is not a human being? Christ, who died on behalf of this general, he himself is the who died on behalf of this little or poor servant. In Christianity, we do not make any distinguish between persons. This is the attitude of Father Bishoy. He loved to every person to enjoy the Christianity. I will tell you a story happened with me. While from a couple of years, I was in New Jersey, and we make special meeting for celebration for the feast of his departure from this world. And we distribute small picture of Father Bishoy to everyone. On the next Sunday, a lady came and said, while I was in the church celebrating the liturgy of the Eucharist, and said to me, Father, can I confess? I said, okay. She said, for 3 years, I didn't confess and I didn't receive the communion. I said, why? She said, I loved a person, and I put his picture with me always, and I can prevent myself from loving him, and I can't receive the communion because I feel it is wrong, but I love him more than my husband. When I received the picture, I put it in my bucket, and at midnight,
While I was sleeping, a person appeared to me and said, "What are you doing? Do you put my picture with his picture? You have chosen one of them, but don't put the two pictures together." Then I awoke and I threw the picture of this person, and I started to weep and to repent, and I started my life. Even after his departure, he wants everyone to enjoy the new life in Christ and to live in purity. There are many, many stories concerning his work in this field. "I am a lady, 30 years old, not married. I am fighting against bad thoughts, desires every day. It is killing me. Should I go and get married to anyone just to stop these desires, or what should I do?" No, not. It is not the solution. The solution, when you feel that you are fighting, you have praying to God, "This is my weakness. I am looking to you. Surely you will change everything for my edification and for my purity." And you have trust in Christ and in his grace. Many persons, even after marriage, I remember even some old people are fighting with against the bad thoughts. When I was ordained, I was at that time about 25 years old or less. And once a person came, he was more than 70 years old, and said, "Abuna, I commit adultery." I was astonished. At that time, I couldn't imagine any person in the world committing this sin. This is according to Sunday school and education at that time. Then I said, "Oh, some thoughts." He said, "No." I said, "Touch." He said, "Physically, I commit this sin." I went to my father in confession, Father Mikhail Ibrahim, and I told him I was truly in trouble. How can I receive these confessions? And how can a person more than 70 years old to be attacked with these thoughts? He said, "Oh, Abuna, do you know God sent this man to you?" I said, "Why?" He said, "For many reasons. The first reason, to discover man is very weak. He has to be cautious even while he is old. Don't say, 'I am a priest, I have good experience, I never fall in a sin.' As you are in this body, you have to be cautious until the last moment of your life. Second thing, God wants to tell you, if this old man was very weak, what about the young people? You have to be very decent, very kind with the young people, even when they are in problems with thoughts or with sins."